The Westwood One Radio Network presents Roger Daltrey, Off the Record with Mary Turner. Brought to you by the U.S. Army. Learn how to get an edge on life. Be all you can be. Roger Daltrey, Off the Record.
People try to put us to down.
Talking about my generation.
Just because we get around.
Talking about my
things they do look awful.
Talking about my generation.
I hope I die before I get old.
Talking about my generation.
Take my generation. Take my generation, baby.
It was my intention to make a hard-edged, middle-aged rock and roll record. And I thought, it's always frustrated me that some of the best musicians in rock are now middle-aged. We have to face it, I'm 48 years old, he's now 2 years away from 50. That is definitely middle-aged. Not that you feel old or anything, but you have to face it that some of the best musicians in rock are that kind of age and are still great. There's no reason whatsoever why the music should go all slushy and Barry Manilow, or, on the other hand, continually try and do what it did 20 years ago and appeal to adolescents and teenagers. There's just no reason why it can't, you know, the problems of or the emotions and things that you care about when you're our age aren't every bit as important. In fact, sometimes more important than those fleeting little problems that you have when you're adolescent, you know. And it's always frustrated me. So that was my intention on this album, deliberately to go out and try and get a mature, hard-edged rock and roll album.
I don't think we have to worry about the man who sang, "I hope I die before I get old." He may be getting older, but old? Not in our lifetime. I'm Mary Turner, and for the next hour I'll be talking to that hard-edged, middle-aged rock and roller, hey, he said it, Roger Daltrey, Off the Record. He was born in the 40s and made history in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. You didn't really expect him to sit out the 90s.
On the last Hooter, I really did rediscover the joy of singing, because it became a pleasure, because of the sound level on the stage was down to a reasonable level. I could actually hear my voice for the first time. And I not only hear my voice, I could hear all the little nuances in the voice. So every word became a special word, every vowel became a special vowel, every night I could do little different things and rediscover. It was just an amazing voyage for me, that tour. And I came off of it just longing to sing. I was hoping that The Who would make an album, but that wasn't to be at that time. But that's not to say it won't be in the future.
I gotta lose me to find you.
Performing before a few million cheering, adoring fans, yeah, that could be inspiring. But it wasn't the mass worship that drove Roger Daltrey into the recording studio. It was a one-on-one relationship with a new friend.
Gerard McMahon is a guy out of New York who I'd had a record on the same album as him, the Lost Boys soundtrack. He had a hit. What was the song of his on there? I can always forget. But he had a song on that album anyway, and I had one, and I was kind of I was interested in his work, and I tracked him down and had a meet with him. And it was just really refreshing talking to him, because he's just so passionate about rock and roll and so focused about where rock and roll has been and where it's going, you know. So I thought, wow, this guy's for me. And he'd never ever produced anything before, but by the end of the conversation, on our first meeting, I actually had already asked him to produce my album. And he said, yeah, he said, I've never done it before. He said, but I'll have a go. He said, but you'll have to write some of the songs. I said, well, I've never done that before, and we'll see what happens. And he just gave me so much encouragement in every area. So it was just so much fun.
Well acquainted with Roger Daltrey, the singer and actor and even farmer, but Daltrey, the songwriter? That's a new one.
I have some of the best lyrics of kind of any rock band ever, I think. I mean, musically, you can argue about it, but lyrically, I don't think there's any of them. Townsend's lyrics are absolute, when they're good, they are superb. And that in itself can be intimidating, but I seem to have... I watched Gerard and a guy, another mate of ours out of New York, Dave Katz. They wrote the song, one of the first ones written, called Before My Time Is Up. And I watched the way they did it and I thought, well, hey, I'll have a go at this. And because they were so sharing, I mean, the experience always before with the way Pete used to write, he was so insular. He deliberately shut himself in a room and tortured himself and God knows what else he did to himself. But... that was the way Pete used to do it, and so it was a very, in some ways, it was a selfish act. Whereas these guys were so giving, it became so easy, it was wonderful. The first song I wrote was Everything a Heart Could Ever Want. Gerard had done the melody, and he had Everything a Heart Could Ever Want. And it was written after another friend of ours from New York had a crush on my young daughter. not a serious crush, but he just thought she was just the bee's knees. Because she's an extraordinary young girl. She's 17. Gerard had this lyric, Everything a Heart Could Ever Want, and a melody. And I was travelling from New York to LA on a plane and decided to just write this thing about my daughter. And I just wanted to articulate what it felt like to be a middle-aged man with a teenage daughter and how you feel when they come home, they stay out late and they come home and you know damn well they've been up to all the things that you were up to when you were that age. And for a guy like me, I can say probably less than anybody because... I sang so many of those lyrics that were so rebellious. I mean, like it says in the song, you know, she comes home late and I've waited long. But then she sings me lines from the songs I used to sing when I was young. And it just sums it all up. But I just feel that that's a very important time for parents to be totally upfront with their kids and totally honest, because I think that is the one time where you either keep them for life and completely let them be rounded as human beings, or you completely screw them up and you lose them forever.
She comes home late and I've waited long, and then she sings me lines from the songs I used to sing when I was young, and then I feel alright, 'cause she's that kind of girl. A woman child, a free young spirit in a jaded world.
I could talk to you for a few hours about Trounce.
Well, if we have time, sure. But I do have a few more questions about music before we move on to spawning habits. Stay tuned. I'm Mary Turner, and I'll be right back with Roger Daltrey, Off the Record.
Most of the songs actually grew out of the studio. You know, it's very organically grown, this album. And I think it shows, you know, you can't... There's something about music that when it really is right, you can really feel it. And this one really does feel good for me anyway. I'm very, very proud of it.
I'm Mary Turner, back with Roger Daltrey, Off the Record.
It's the same rain, the same pain, the same picture in the same frame. Cold clothes, smoldering hearts. And it can't burst into flames, then again it can't go out. My passion is a nightingale with a sore throat, a dolphin in the Thames. It's a wasted love.
Call your local ticket agency. Roger Daltrey will be on tour before the leaves change colors. Universities, theaters, clubs, he's ready to see our faces a little closer to the stage this year.
Oh, I love performing. I mean, the last performance I did recently out here was with the Chieftains at the amphitheater. Now that is good fun. Because that is totally different. And that was just a dream of an experience for me. Because I love Irish folk music, Irish traditional songs. To sing a couple of Irish traditional songs with the Chieftains and then have them play a Who song they did behind Blue Eyes. Oh, it was fantastic. What was probably the most gratifying thing from the whole event was that people would come up to me afterwards and say, you know, I heard Behind Blue Eyes tonight again for the first time, although I've been hearing the song for 20 years. But they suddenly heard the song again for the first time and they were able to, you know, completely turn their head around on it because of how differently it was approached. And it's wonderful to be able to do that with music. Because music should never be... That's what always frustrates me about rock and roll again, because of what were these classic rock stations opening up. It's not, you know, it's not really where it's at. It's the live performance that's great. And rock and roll should never be just, or good rock songs should never be just cast in stone or cast in vinyl or whatever, and never moved around from that position. The only thing I don't like about it is they always play the same ones, and it's a shame because the catalogue is so huge and there are so many great songs. I find that a bit frustrating, but when I do hear the occasional obscure one, sometimes I hear some that I've even forgotten that we recorded, and then that is a wonderful experience because I then hear it for the first time. And that has sometimes made me very, very proud. It's for the first time I could actually hear every, you know, step out of just being a singer and hear the band as I would listen to Guns N' Roses or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that is a really refreshing experience. Stuff from Quadrophenia, there's a hell of a lot of stuff on that album that never gets played. And the silly songs, I mean, like Tattoo. We did an awful lot of silly songs,
yes,
that were very deliberately silly and funny. And just, to, you know, I mean, that was one thing I think that... It's still important to rock and roll, is that we never ever took ourselves that seriously. You know, it's great to see it still going on. Thank God for that.
I used to wake up in the morning. I used to feel so bad. I got so sick of having sleepless nights. I went and told my dad. He said, son, now here's some little something. And stuck them on my wall. Seem quite so lonely. In fact, I don't know bad at all.
Yeah.
you're not afraid of songwriting anymore, what about writing with Pete?
Oh yeah, but it, you know, it has to come, that has to, he has to obviously change the way he is for that, because he's, the way he's written in the past, he's been insular. Maybe now it'll be, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens.
Let's talk more about that right after this. Off the Record. I'm Mary Turner.
We used to play trad jazz. I mean, John used to play trumpet.
Right.
And I played the trombone. Pete played the banjo. God, could you imagine? What a bunch. It was all a very hit and miss affair anyway. But it was fun. We were a kind of do-anything band. Weddings, bar mitzvahs, funerals, you name it, we'd do it.
Roger Daltrey playing trombone to Here Comes the Bride? That's a scary thought. I'm Mary Turner, back with Off the Record.
I'm of the opinion that the reason why so many great bands came out of England through the 60s was because of because of Elvis Presley, which made people very aware of this new music. But also we had a guy over there called Lonnie Donegan, who played a form of music which we called skiffle, which was basically old American folk songs, and a lot of black traditional songs as well. And he brought this music to England and was playing it, which was very simple music, all three chord stuff, guitar, washboard, T-chest bass, you know, just like a boom handle, a piece of string and a T-chest, boom, 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 anyone could play it. And that encouraged everybody to attempt to play it. And I think people then discovered things that they never ever would have discovered in themselves, talents which they never ever would have thought they had. And I'm sure that's got a lot to do with why so many great musicians came out of England in the 60s. And I think my feeling about music today is we've got to get it back to being simple again so that everyone can have a go again. I'm a great believer in karaoke. I mean, a load of great singers are being discovered because of karaoke. It's a shame now what we should do is have singing tracks so that people can go out there and play the guitar to it, you know. So someone's got to now turn it around so we can... But I mean, anyway, that's just, I'm being a bit silly there, but I mean, oh, I think they're incredibly funny, but I definitely don't sing at them.
I could do,
there's a small hotel.
You're alone above the street somewhere, wondering how you'll ever count out there. You can walk, you can talk, you can fight, but inside you've got something to write. In your hand you hold your only friend.
Are you really working on another Who project? Pete's ready to write and record?
Well, we're talking at the moment. We've got ideas, and in retrospect, this last 10 years sabbatical that we have taken has been very necessary as part of our everyday life. I mean, we were existing as a rock band. I mean, it wasn't really, although it's on the surface, it appears to have all the things that anyone could ever want. You know, it's got money, you've got the glamour, you've got all the trappings of wealth and all the fame and everything else that goes with it. You don't actually do a lot of real living underneath if you're not careful. It becomes a kind of insular world. And it's been very important to us to take the last 10 years off to do that other little bit of life that we miss.
Since the last Who tour, Pete's been working as an editor in London?
I don't know. I've never seen anything he's edited. I mean,
But I mean,
what is it exactly he does? I don't know. It's kind of this knobby job.
Yes.
I'm very fussy about guitar solos. And that's one of the things about a solo album that people don't realise is that although I don't actually play the solos on the album, I'm very much responsible for what the solos are. It's very much a part of, it's almost as important as the lyric of the song in some ways. You know?
It doesn't sound like he has rocks in his head. I'm Mary Turner talking with Roger Daltrey, Off the Record.
White girl, in a perfect world you trust in your lover. Will boys ever be boys again? Blonde boy, in a perfect world you know if you loved her. Will girls ever be girls again? Black boy, in a perfect world there be understanding.
I think I got a bit scared in the earthquake the other day.
Oh, you're here for that?
Like, I woke up. I've thrown out of bed, I was actually on the floor. And I thought someone was, because I thought, oh, I'm back on the road, someone's smashing up the hotel room. So I got up ready for a fight. And of course I was like rolling about all over the place and realised what was going on. But I'm not so sure whether I was frightened or kind of exhilarated. It's a very strange feeling. I mean, it really does put you in place, doesn't it? I do raise a wry smile when I hear people expound the thing that we are destroying the planet. I think they've got it the wrong way round. We will never destroy this planet. We have the choice of whether we exist with it or whether it gets rid of us. I think that's the way you should really look at it. We will never destroy this planet.
Yeah,
we will change it until it decides to get rid of us, and then it will revert back.
Yeah.
But so the choice is ours whether we decide to be here or not. And it's just, the more we can get people to realise that and stop this silly thing about, oh, we are destroying the planet. We are not doing the planet any good, I will agree with that, but we will not destroy it. Let's get it in perspective.
After the fire still burns. The heart grows older, but never ever learns. The memory smolder, and the soul always yearns. After the fire still burns.
Shakespeare, I've made films, I've done a radio play, I've started to songwrite, you know, we did that Who tour, which was an absolute dream. And I've survived. So, I mean, that in itself is a success in this business.
Fridays, waiting at the gates of heaven. The weekend starts at 7. We get 40.
Roger Daltrey, Off the Record with Mary Turner, has been brought to you by the U.S. Army. Learn how to get an edge on life. Be all you can be. This program was written and produced by Marsha Richardson. Production and engineering by Fred Lindgren. Off the Record with Mary Turner is a presentation of the Westwood One Radio Network. Executive producer, Norm Pattis.